Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The greatest command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And Jesus says the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The scribes and the Pharisees would challenge Jesus, saying, which is the most important commandment? And he responded, the most important commandment is to love God. But then he adds, the second is like it. The second is like the first in importance. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to neighbor, Paul writes. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law, but those who challenged Jesus had reduced the fulfillment of the law. They had reduced the love of God to nothing more than a bunch of religious formulas, much like recipes in a book. These formulas or traditions handed down from the fathers or the elders, as the scribes and the Pharisees called them, were incrementally conforming faith in the one true God to fit into the faithless, task-oriented religions of the pagan world. You do this in just the right amount, and you mix it with this, and leave it for just the right amount of time, and God will bless you. It doesn't work that way. In many cases, the man-made traditions that failed to honor God, and they did, also prevented people from loving their neighbor. And now today in our gospel reading, those who held man-made traditions over and above God's commandments accused Jesus of enabling his disciples to break tradition concerning uncleanness. During the cold and flu season, we tend to increase our awareness of our need for hand washing. As school began this year, I challenged Emmett, wash your hands because there's germs. Sorry I talked about you in church, man. So after shopping at Walmart or at Gary's or some other place that we go out in the community, it's probably a good idea to wash our hands before we eat. But the men who challenged Jesus, they weren't talking about safe hygiene practices. They didn't care if the disciples caught cold. They were looking for something, anything that they could use to discredit Jesus. Jesus and his disciples had regularly come in contact with sinners and tax collectors. Those people. They had cared for, well, they had regularly eaten with sinners and tax collectors, and they didn't wash their hands this time. They ate, Jesus ate and sat with people like Anna. We'll get to Anna in a minute. The Pharisees and scribes challenged that by the traditions of the elders, Jesus and his disciples had defiled themselves, and therefore they needed to cleanse themselves. Have you ever heard the phrase lip service? Kind of aging ourselves or dating ourselves here. Speaking of aging, my 1958 college dictionary describes lip service as superficial or insincere talk. Or in the case of the scribes and the Pharisees, superficial or insincere religion. Jesus said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You leave the commandment of God to follow the tradition of men. The Pharisees paid lip service to God. Their hearts were so far from him that they accused the Lord of being ignorant of his own commandments. Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders? But traditions are not commandments. Even in our time, it is evident that in many ways, each of God's commandments are being turned upside down by the traditions of men. Each of God's commandments are being turned upside down by the popularity polls of man, the things that seem to dictate reality in our time. But in today's gospel reading, Jesus chose to rebuke man's tradition. He narrowed it down to one for now. He rebuked them for turning upside down his commandment to honor your father and your mother. It is written that to transgress against this commandment is to invite death. And yet the tradition of Corban, a tradition that had been twisted and taught by man, no longer permitted a person to sufficiently honor aging parents with financial support. God's commandment is that one honor their father and their mother. But the tradition of Corban had gone to the point where it demanded that one choose between caring for parents, that one choose between caring or feeding mom and dad. They had to choose between that and ridding themselves of uncleanness by giving those resources rather than support mom and dad, give it to the church. Give more to God. But he didn't say that. The tradition of Corban was putting words in God's mouth. Because of these things, Isaiah prophesied, saying, "The wisdom of the wise will surely perish." The Pharisees were hung up on their own idea of cleanness. But it is not ritual external washing that makes one clean in the eyes of God. Jesus died on a cross that he might present, I'm borrowing words from Paul here, that he might present to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or blemish, holy and blameless. He's talking about you. Through faith in Jesus, you are already clean. You are already right with God. St. Paul adds to this saying, no man ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it. Paul adds these things that Paul talks about. He adds that, it's one of those hard teachings that we talked about last week. So he goes ahead and he says it plainly. These things refer to Christ and his church. These things that he talks about refer to Christ and us, his church. The Pharisees were repulsed at the unclean hands of the disciples. And as I thought about that this week, I was wondering, what would they think of Anna? In the 1970s, a writer to a metropolitan newspaper wrote an article called "Urban Ghosts, Bag Ladies of New York." The article describes the plight of the bag ladies in the 1970s who literally lived on the streets of New York, carrying all their worldly possessions in a grocery sack. "All are ragged and unkempt," he wrote. "Some are sick, others are covered with sores. They remind a person of the unclean in Jesus' day, the lepers and the social outcasts of Jesus' day. The tensions and the cruelties of life seem to be destroying these ladies." Anna was one of those ladies, one of those bag ladies. Her plight was pitiful, he adds. She stayed near a local church because a food wagon, as she called it, stopped there each morning and gave us 2 stale bologna sandwiches and a cup of coffee to anyone who was willing to wait in line for it. Anna didn't walk. She kind of schlumped along, if that's a word, kind of shuffling along, dragging her feet as she tried to walk, all hunched over. In order to keep warm, she covered herself in layers of burlap, over which she wore a raincoat. When my first adopted son and I were in the Boy Scouts, that was a common practice to keep warm. If you're out in the elements, you put layer upon layer upon layer, and then you put a ceiling layer, a raincoat or a windbreaker over the top to keep your body in and the elements out. So that made sense to me. But then he went on to say that over the top of all that, she wore an old beat-up sweater. Well, keeping warm, that wouldn't work. She was trying to make herself more presentable. She was trying to look as nice as she could. And Anna always carried an umbrella that she might have a roof over her head. Anna's hands were badly gnarled with arthritis, gnarled like an old piece of wood. Anna smelled pretty bad. And she had no teeth. She was the victim of the worst that life and people can do to a person. But the author of that metropolitan newspaper went on to conclude that Anna had not been completely destroyed by the evil forces of life. There was a spark of hope still bright within her, a hope that brought her to say to him, "I wish you could have seen me when I was clean. I wish you could have seen me when I was clean. The religious traditions of man say, clean yourself up. The religious traditions of man say, get right with God. But him who is the head of the church, even Jesus, the Christ of God, says, come, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. Annas was a hope in the one who ate with sinners and tax collectors. Annas was a hope in him who still feeds and cares for his church. Annas was a hope in him who sat with her each morning as she sat and ate two stale bologna sandwiches just outside the doors of his house. Annas' hope is in him who saw her as radiant, without stain or wrinkle or blemish. And such hope in Jesus is never disappointed. Washing can be a useful exercise, a useful practice, but not as a condition for eternal life, but as a means of receiving life. For in holy baptism, God himself washes us clean. Jesus has loved each of you and loves each of you. He has given himself to die on a cross for each of you. And so through faith in Jesus, on the day that you stand before the judgment throne of God, you have no need to say, I wish you could have seen me when I was clean. Because he already sees you and has declared you clean. And so you are. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.